You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. I am joined by Rhett Bollinger, and we are here in the Byron Buxton era. He came up straight from Double A earlier than expected, but of course the Twins leaped into contention earlier than expected. So nice to see them get proactive with Buxton and his first game with the club in Texas. He scores the winning run after reaching on a sack bunt attempt gone wrong, but a satisfying ending for the Twins. Rhett, how surprised were you to see, obviously this move correlated with what was going on with Aaron Hicks' injury, but how surprised were you that they pulled the trigger on Buxton this soon?
It definitely surprised me. I mean, as a guy, obviously he's a top prospect, number one overall by MLB.com, but at the same time, you know, last year he had so much time. A little bit of the season here play, never got a reason to play and get caught up. Surprised. I think, when anything, though, it's kind of circumstances, like you mentioned, Aaron Hicks' injury definitely kind of put their hand, especially being suspended for the week. I don't feel very really bad, and they didn't really have any options at all in their system. Other than that, and the nice thing was, Buxton's been doing so well at Double A. He was on an 8-game hitting streak. He was hitting really well since a slow start. So it's surprising, but definitely made sense. Now it's kind of, we'll kind of see stick. Obviously, that's talent, and if he is an expert, but it's kind of going to be up to him to produce and do that. But it's definitely an exciting era for the fans. I've been clamoring for him for a very long time. So for him to finally be here is definitely very exciting.
For the people who aren't in that clubhouse on a daily basis, Brett, personality-wise and just maturity-wise and all those things, I mean, we know he's a great talent, so many facets of the game. How does he fit in with that group? And of course, making the leap at such a young age, really, even though he had the injuries last season. I mean, he's still a very young man, and going straight from Double A to the big leagues is a big leap. How do you think he's going to handle that mentally?
Yeah, that's the thing. You're right. He's so young. He's only 21 years old. He's definitely kind of a quiet kid. Again, the guys are the media, all that. Really, that was very, very quiet. Very much out of him, but he's definitely matured a lot. He's gone to be pretty good talking with the media and all that, and his teammates all love him. He's got a big personality. We're getting to know him. He's got cool two-tone hair now with whatever color yellow hair on top of his hair there. And the teammates all, you know, really like him. I mean, even Aaron, you to him, spring training. With next to him, Corey Hunter. And so I think Hunter is going to be very excited to have Buxton to kind of mentor. Hunter didn't get a debut because he had to be around or away from the ballpark because of his suspension. But I have a feeling that Buxton is going to be locked to kind of get a feel for what it's like, because we know how much Hunter's kind of been a leader throughout his career. I think the Twins would love to see that from Buxton. Still so young and it's still so early. It's hard to tell, you know. Is he going to be the personal tour lead? Is he going to be a clubhouse leader? It's hard to say, but at this point, you know, he's one of those guys that at least gets along well with everybody. He's mentally prepared. I mean, the guy's produced at every level. He's obviously an elite talent, and I think the makeup's definitely there. It's just one of those things where we'll find out if he's going to be kind of a big leader, at least in terms of the clubhouse, but I'm assuming with his talent, he'll eventually definitely be one.
Well, the Twins, if this guy comes as advertised, the Twins could certainly use the help. They're getting a 583 OPS from center fielders. That was one of the lowest marks in baseball. Buxton had a crazy start in Double A. He had 12 triples already, which is pretty amazing here for mid-June. And, Rhett, one last thing on Buxton. Is it inevitable that he becomes the leadoff man in this club? We know, you know, what an impact guy he can be on the base paths. And I'm sure Paul Molitor wants to see him get comfortable and establish himself a little bit, but that certainly seems like the most obvious spot for him down the road.
Exactly. I think it's inevitable down the road. I think for now, kind of keep the pressure off him, bat him ninth. The two I have an average, he walks so much, he gets on base a ton. The hard thing with Dozier, has so much power, which is so surprising for a second baseman that in some ways you kind of waste a little bit of it by being a leadoff. Obviously, another homer, but it's a leadoff homer, so seems he gets a lot of solo home runs because he doesn't really come up with guys on base. So I think with Buxton's skill set, he's a guy that hit for average and can draw walks in the minors. I have a feeling he'll be a high average, high on base percentage guy. And obviously, his speed is world class. I mean, he's probably not as fast as maybe Bill Hamilton, but kind of right in that atmosphere, though. I'm the guy that in his first game, hard ground ball at base, really beat it out. Like, he literally just hit the ball hard down the line. Fielder guy, I mean, got it in the first and beat it out. So this is premier speed, could be a guy that could lead the, you know, the league in triples and stolen base just to come. So, yeah, I think that early on now he'll probably stick and maybe, you know, kind of get the pressure off and all that, but I do think that probably even by the end of the season he'll probably be back at leadoff like he was minors.
You mentioned Dozier's power, and I was surprised. He entered the week as the American League extra base hits leader, which I think you could pull 10 random baseball fans and not have any of them guess that. And probably some people in Minnesota as well. That's a great start for Dozier, of course. And you mentioned Hunter earlier. He had that 2-game suspension. I have to laugh because that ejection was one of the more entertaining ones we've seen lately, you know, throwing everything on the field. And I also think it was probably a little overboard on Mr. Hunter's part, and even the umpire's like, come on, dude. In your opinion, Rhett, was that one of those – obviously, the Twins have been in a bit of a rut here lately. Was that just frustration on Hunter's part, or was that one of those veteran moves where he's trying to get his team fired up? What was your takeaway from that experience?
I think it was both. I think he was obviously just really fired up and angry at the call. That umpire's had a long history now of a lot of bad calls behind the plate. So I think it's one of those things where the strike zone all night was kind of bothering Twins players, and I think it just caused him to kind of erupt there. Obviously went over the top, but I think maybe as he was doing it, he was thinking, I can kind of fire up the I think they kind of went into it a little bit later, but I do think it wasn't like he got thrown out just for that sake. I think that more than anything, it really was just kind of a call, kind of react. They went over the top with the taking the jersey and all the stuff and throwing it to get his mom. And he did. But the problem was, is that, you know, as much as they might have fired him up or whatever, it cost him 2 games and a suspension. Caused the Twins to play, you know, short, down a man. They already have 13 pitchers right now. Saturday, pitchers, the only player on their bench was Kurt Suzuki, who's a catcher who they couldn't really use because he's a catcher. Use them and he'll risk, you know, your regular catcher getting hurt. So, in that sense, it's kind of one of those things where he was sick over the weekend anyway, and he lives in Dallas, so it made perfect sense for him to drive the people, miss 2 games anyway because he's sick, and just use that time to relax at home and kind of get well before the series in St. Louis.
Well, yeah, not a time the Twins want to be shorthanded, so glad that's out of the way. They've lost 5 of 6 as we record this, just haven't been scoring many runs, and you got to wonder if it's a slump or a correction or what's going on there. But, Rhett, I wanted to get away from the Major League Club for 1 second here at the end of this podcast and talk about the draft a little bit. Since we last spoke, that took place, and the Twins had the number 6 overall pick and used it on Tyler Jay, Illinois left-hander. They also took a right-hander by the name of Kyle Cody. And as you wrote, Rhett, this is a departure for the Twins, or it's a continued departure for the Twins, getting away from their, you know, their reputation of taking soft-tossing strike throwers and going more towards these power arms.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've seen Twins in the past kind of had that mold of kind of the strike-throwing college pitchers, you know, drafting guys, you know, guys like Nick Blackburn or Ken Slowey or even Alex Hummel. And they're kind of moving on to these hard-throwing guys. I mean, we've seen that the last, probably about the last 3 or 4 years, actually last year, the 10 draft picks they paid, the top 10, I think 8 of those 10 were college, you know, relievers or starters that threw hard. So I think they're kind of stocking their system with some of those guys. We're seeing those guys like Nick Birdie and Jake Reed reach double-A already, could be part of the bullpen in the near future. And Tyler Jay is a guy that fits that mold, a left-hander from Illinois, great numbers throughout his college career. A guy who can strike a lot of guys out because he has a four-pitch mix. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, pitched in relief in college, but the Twins see him as a starter going forward. But he's one of those guys that right now I think the Twins could start him out in relief. I think he's going to start at Class A and skip rookie on all that and possibly even reach the majors this year, kind of like the Royals last year with Brandon Fagan. It was a college pitcher that could just leave her. And then from there, maybe next year, the guy that can track and make it all the majors after being drafted. And Kyle Cook kind of fits that mold too. Not quite as advanced as Jay, but a big right-hander, about 7, you know, out of the Twin Scouts that he kind of reminded him of Mike Telfer. Kentucky was a very good program. The top prospect, Alex Meyer from there. Another big system from there, Logan Darnell. So they're definitely familiar with Cody and have seen him the last few years here. So, yeah, about having these kind of hot throwers in their system now, especially Jay. He's kind of the crown jewel of their draft. There's definitely a chance to get him in Minnesota this season.
Well, yeah, if the Twins are still in contention down the stretch, Jay is going to be a name a lot of people are watching as a potential late-season bullpen upgrade. And for now, it's nice to see Byron Buxton reach the big leagues, a guy we've heard a lot about for a long time now. So good to see him up here and good to hear from Rhett Bollinger. I want to thank him for joining us. Thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.